It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. The year was 1968, and the automotive industry was in a panic mode, looking for a prototype crash dummy that could be used as an average male, large male, and small female. Who did the brilliant minds of American ingenuity turn to?
Yo, police!
Recent historical records have surfaced proving Alexander Graham Bell's first telephone call in 1876 was not his assistant, Mr. Watson, but to...
Yo, police!
Asking him to order Chinese. Ladies and gentlemen, fresh from a crash test at Yucca Proving Grounds, your host, Paul Lavoie.
Welcome to Speak Out. It's Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. And we've got the Lake Havasu Unified School District in the house. My long-lost second or third cousin, Jamie Festa-Daigle, Dr. Jamie Festa-Daigle.
That's right.
I always introduce you as my second or third or fourth. I don't know. I have a lot of Daigles in my family.
It's actually Chris Daigle's 50th birthday. So happy birthday to Chris Daigle.
How cool is that?
Well, I'm married to a 50-year-old, so.
I just turned 60, as my audience knows.
I mean, it happens
knows.
To the best of us.
Wow. I hope he doesn't hear the recording. You know we're on live radio, right?
I'm fine.
You're good?
He knows he's 50 and we're married.
So he's rocking it.
Yeah, he is rocking it.
He owns it.
He is. He actually just competed in the CrossFit quarterfinals, and he's the 800th fittest man in CrossFit.
Arizona or
the world.
The world. What?
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't
sound El Mundial?
Yes.
That's cray-cray,
very,
man.
Very fit. There's, wow. There's 799 right. more fit men.
Jenny Sautner is here as well, Starline Elementary School principal.
Yes,
welcome
hello.
Back.
Hello. Happy to join you.
You're all a welcome back because we also have Marcia Becker in the studio. Right? CTE coordinator?
Yep.
For the Lake Havasu Unified
before.
School District?
Thank right. you for having me again.
How is Scott?
He's doing well, you know, it's the end of the school year, so it's a busy time at the high school.
It's funny, Marcia walked through the door, she was the first one here today, and I knew it was Marcia because she's tall. Because Scott is very tall.
Yep, we so, are family of tall.
Did you play sports as well?
I did, I played volleyball at Utah State.
Oh,
so.
Very good.
Yeah.
You Aggies.
Yes.
Got it.
Very good.
Yeah. Well,
impressive.
When you play UNLV enough,
I
know the mascots.
They were in our conference.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so we're going to be talking Lake Havasu Unified School District stuff today. And you're welcome to call in as well as a listener, 928-854. I was told to slow down on this, by the way. 5-6-8-7. Is that slow enough? 928-854-KNTR. And we got a little poll going, ladies. So this is kind of for the listeners. And overnight, it got pretty tight. So it's Dennis versus Dana. We want to find out who you want to hear at 9 a.m. on the KNTR Talk lineup. Dennis Prager or Dana Lash. They both have their redeeming qualities. Dana is number 5 in the Talkers Top 100 list for 2023, I believe it is, or 2024. Dennis Prager dropped to 49. And it's not based on popularity, folks. It's based on the number of listeners that they have because of the number of markets that they're in. That's why Sean Hannity's been at number 1 for 4 years straight. So, yeah, Dana's number 5 and Dennis Prager at 49. And, yeah, just let us know who you want to hear at 9 a.m. Dana Lash or Dennis Prager. So there you have it. And you can text me. You can call. Just don't call the office today. I want to keep my job. Thank you very much.
Oh.
They were calling the office yesterday, too.
Gotcha.
So I'm going to talk about today the talking points I have as the school year comes to an end. There's a lot of events. I was really surprised. Who wants to address this? I mean, we're sitting, it's April 24th. School year ends the middle of May because of the heat and all that. But there's still a lot of events left.
There is. So we actually just finished state testing, and that is a really huge event where basically, by state law, all of our third through ninth graders and then our 11th graders test. So we just finished testing. School is out Friday for a testing break, but then we have lots of events coming up. At Ginny's school, they're hosting Kid City. I'll let her talk about it. Smoketree Elementary is having a STEM night that is open to the whole community. All of our different levels have evenings of excellence. The most exciting evening of excellence is the high school evening of excellence. There is tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars given out in scholarships from community members, my club, Lake Havasu Rotary, but all the Rotaries, all the Eagles and, you know, the Catholic women of Lake Havasu and the Republican women of Lake Havasu, they all give funding. So,
and Kiwanis.
And Kiwanis.
Okay.
Kiwanis does a great job with Key Club. So there's so many ways to both celebrate kids, but then there's so academic events coming up if you want to talk about.
Let me jump in there. Kiwanis scholarships alone last year were over $15,000.
So it's interesting. Kiwanis has given so much that our Rotary really had to, like, jump in our game. Like, we were like...
Oh, that's good to know.
Oh, yeah.
I hope David Lane's listening.
Oh, no. David Lane really is helping us really know that, you know, having citizens who see service as important is important, and we start that young. And so recognizing students who are volunteering and involved in community activities, whether it's through Key Club or whether it's through Interact, that's really important. Thank you for that Kiwanis plug.
No. Well, you're a Rotarian, I'll probably get fined just for saying Rotarian. No. But no, at my meeting.
It's great.
But yeah, David Lane's our president, and I'm actually an outgoing board member right now.
Gotcha.
I'll still be a member, just not a board member.
Yes.
So.
Very good.
Anyway, Ginny.
Yes. Well, I'll be there at that evening of excellence for the high school. I'm presenting a scholarship also for Havasu Stingray swim team gives a scholarship to a swimmer. So I love that event. So many community partners come to give money to students who are our graduates. But you're right. I would actually like to talk about Kid City at Starline. And that is an event that's really like a legacy in our town. It involves so many community partners. We partner with entrepreneurial partners and businesses come to support us. Our entire fifth grade creates like a mock city. They create businesses. We talk about civic engagement and economics. And we actually just won a grant through the Law for Kids, who's helping us to fund that this year. Our mayor will be there and we'll do a ribbon cutting. And it's one of those things that leaves a deep impact, I would say, on students and families. And they come to expect it and really enjoy it. So.
And they understand the importance of communities and how taxes work and regulation and the importance of small business and all those things.
Oh, yes. Our sixth grade are the rule keepers. They're the government. And they really do enjoy working with those approved and denied stamps for the their permits and applications that they have to approve for fifth grade. So that's
do those students that are in career and technical education, are they recognized in any way during that evening of excellence?
Actually, we have our own ceremony that's called the Shining Knight Award, and that takes place on May 6th at the Performing Arts Center. Mm-hmm. And we celebrate all of our students who are seniors who have earned industry certifications, who have done really well in their programs, who are going to nationals competitions in the summer. So it's a pretty big event. And then we have one other event that's this is the second year that we've had it. It's called Owning My Future. Mm-hmm. And so this is like a decision day for all of our seniors who, whether they are going into college or a trade school or whether they're going out into the workforce, we want to recognize them for owning their future and making a decision to take those next steps. And so it's a kind of a play off of a college signing event. The students will sign a certificate. Mm-hmm. And the mayor's going to do a proclamation, and this year we're bringing it to the community, and we're having it under the bridge. So I'm really excited about that one. That'll be May 1st from 9 to 11 under the London Bridge.
That sounds like an interesting event.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phone. Caller, you're live on Speak Out. Hello, caller. Nope, they hung up. I have a feeling it was a vote for either Dana or Dennis, though. All right, decision day. I want to address the whole table with this one because I was an architecture major, believe it or not, with a, you know, associate degree in architectural rendering and design, and I'm far from that. So, and we were just talking about a teacher who's now in the restaurant business. Mm-hmm. So, what does that actually mean when you say decision day? It's like, do they feel like they're, you know, on a permanent decision to pick a permanent career?
I think the idea behind it is I don't know if it was COVID or, you know, people were not, or our students were going out or not really making a decision about what they wanted to do. And so they weren't really either making a decision to go to school or go out into the workforce. And they were just kind of, you know, have...
Meandering.
Mm-hmm. So we're hopeful that this, you know, will get them again going on their path, whether that path leads them from the restaurant industry into teaching or whatever it is. But they're deciding to make a decision to go into their future and move on to that next step.
Okay.
I think it's really important. There's a couple of things within it. I think students going directly into their workforce or students going to trade school, like, that is extremely important, and those are, in many cases, extremely lucrative careers. And so for a long time, you know, it was college, and yes, there's a space for college, but really recognizing students who are going directly into the workforce, but what skills, certifications, knowledge do they need to be successful? What skills and knowledge do they need for trade school? And then the reality is college is expensive. You know, students do not have the time or the money to meander, and so how do you finish a degree, whatever that degree is, and then know you can take it and make different decisions with it?
No, that's a really good point, because the difference between when I went to college or maybe even when you went to college is the cost.
It's
a huge investment now.
So I was poor as poor can be. I paid for my master's,
ditto,
right?
Like, yeah,
on our credit card, we paid it. My daughter just finished. She just became a doctor of physical therapy.
Congratulations.
She's so amazing and smart, but she is in debt up to her ears, and the reality is we need medical professionals. We need doctors. We need those people, and it is not cheap. And so how are we ensuring that students do this in ways that make sense and that they have a clear pathway?
Is the district, yourself or Jenny or you, Jamie, are you telling kids, you know, you don't have to go to that big school yet, you know? If you want to go to law school later, yes, take that, to get that bachelor's, and then you want to go to law school or you want to go get your doctorate or whatever, the big school might matter, but you could stay small to begin with. Are you guys advising them, you know, in that capacity?
So Arizona is so lucky. We have such a strong community college system throughout the state.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I went to Grand Canyon back in the 90s, but I supplemented that by going to Glendale Community College in Rio Salado. Like, having a community college system to both supplement and make it a first stop is really, really important. I think as parents, like, we all have seen that with our own kids.
Yeah, because you could save a lot of money doing it the way you did as opposed to going to ASU for 4 years. That could get expensive.
Our students have a lot of options with WAVE being able to pay for some of those credits when they're still in high school.
Western Arizona Vocational
Education.
Got it.
And that district will fund classes for students who are on career and technical education pathways. And then there's also Early Start Scholarship at MCC. So there's lots of ways for students to earn certifications that can help them, you know, pay for that college degree if that's what they decide to do.
Okay, perfect. How's Offspring sound, Jamie?
Well, I like Offspring. I'm going to see them, actually.
And you go to see everybody.
I know.
You just
I
saw
do.
Tool.
I did. Tool was so good. I love
I don't think
them.
I could get away with playing Tool.
I like. There's a lot of instrumental and drum sections.
Yeah, but
I know.
I don't know if I want to risk the vocals.
It's fine. I like
anyway.
Offspring. He's also a doctor.
Who is?
The lead singer of Offspring.
Really?
Yeah, it's like a microbiologist.
Oh, wow. Who knew?
Me.
Interesting. So he paid for that through music, right?
Yes.
Probably did.
Yes.
This was a huge hit. Pretty Fly for a White Guy. Back with more in a moment. We're with Jamie Festadagle, Jenny Sautner, and Marcia Becker from Lake Havasu Unified School District. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. Call me with your vote, Dennis or Dana, at 9 a.m. Welcome to Spanish class. Soy un perdedor, right? I love that. Do you have a story about Beck?
I do have a story about Beck. I'm not going to actually share it.
You're not.
Table. No.
Okay, very good. Very good. And yes, whoever commented on the snacks, they're in abundance right now in the Speak Out kitchen with no sink. So there you go. We have quite the snack collection
that is,
over there.
I was very impressed by your snack selection.
And they're like healthy snacks.
Yes.
Except for the chocolate that I brought in.
Plant-based protein. Is someone a vegetarian?
Oh, yeah. The Tillamook sticks over there.
Yeah.
Those are mine. Thank you.
Very
anyway,
nice.
Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. By Just Meats, all the cuts all the time. A locally owned and operated butcher shop in Lake Havasu City. By Patio Paradise. Also, Salmon's Air Conditioning, serving the tri-state area for over 53 years. Ask about Salmon's superior maintenance plan. So, Jamie's husband is younger than Salmon's Air Conditioning.
Oh.
There you go.
So many things.
It's a silver lining.
I know. So many things. Younger than.
Yeah, but I'm older. Also, Blonzi Steakhouse. One of the best breakfasts in Havasu. Don't forget their Duck Duck Jeep car show on May 4th. And don't forget, ladies, to pass the business cards around. On the back of that is the archive where you can listen to this show and other Speak Out episodes that are archived there. This will be up at about 12:15 or so. Marissa June just turns it around, turns it and burns it to the online website. To the interwebs, if you will. All right, let's talk about what can kids do this summer? What do parents do with their kids this summer?
Oh, I have so many ideas for them.
You do,
for
Jenny?
This summer. I do. I have two personal children that I give things to do in the summer, and then also our 600-plus Starline students. So
do they have to clean the pool or swab the deck or
you
what?
You know, they do a little bit of that, yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Build character, why not?
Sure.
And one thing that is taking place at Starline, but is for all students in Lake Havasu City, is our Camp Invention. So Camp Invention is actually a national science STEM camp, and we host it at our school site. All students are invited, and one of our, I would say, exceptional teachers, Ms. Zampona, is in charge of that. So that's the very first week of June. If you're looking for students to play with robotics or create some really awesome experiments in STEM.
What ages is it for?
That is for first through sixth grade students.
Oh, perfect.
Yes. And then our Starline students, we do have a two-day STEM camp. And summer school, I mean, I enjoy school, obviously. But for students who would like to kind of keep up those skills over summer, any of our district schools offer summer school, and that is for the month of June from 8 to noon every day. And then we do work with Parks and Recreation to provide some after-school care for students who need that. And our kindergartners, those just entering, Families usually have a lot of questions, and really, especially if you're a new family, you kind of like to network with some other families. So for Starline families, we do some social events, and those are posted on our Facebook page. So if you just wanted to have a play date and maybe meet at a splash pad and talk to some other parents who are coming in as a new parent to school, there are a lot of questions that arise. And so we like to build that community.
And then all of the schools have a kindergarten boot camp. So
yes.
It runs through the month of June for kids going into kindergarten to really support that transition and make sure that they're ready, because that's a scary time for both parents and sometimes kids. But I know it was walking up that hill when my kids went to Starline, like that was a big deal.
I was going to say, Jenny, you're an elementary school principal.
Yes.
What do you see? What's the common thing you see every first day of school for those kindergarten students that maybe haven't been through that program?
Yes, absolutely. You know, preschool really sets them up for success because they might know just the most basic things about how to stand in a line, how to enter a classroom in a safe way with hands to self. And for students who might not have had those experiences, the learning curve is a little bit steeper. So that summer kinder boot camp really helps students acclimate, you know, for their little bodies. Going from being at home all day to having a full 8-hour day of school is quite a lot. I mean,
yeah, I saw adults last night at Albertsons that don't even know how to stand in line. I'm not even kidding, folks. I mean, intersections are one thing, but at least learn how to stand in line. You know, I deal with those too out there when I'm driving. So, all right, how can you make students enjoy summer, but they're ready to start school again in the fall?
Yes, I would really highly advocate that over summer, students get to do some enrichment things. So maybe take your student to the library, to the aquatic center, that summer is not just filled with unlimited screen time and absolutely no structure is not really good for them. So keeping just some basics, a routine, a bedtime, and maybe ask students what they're interested in. This is the time for them, if they have a curiosity, to really dive in and learn something new. And even if you cannot travel to far away, expansive places, there are some local places that are really interesting, you know, to take them to Oatman or on a hike. Summer is a little bit more unstructured, so you want to keep a little bit of structure to, you know, hold it together.
Sure.
Otherwise, that first day of school, students really struggle, you know.
Jamie, when I was with the Boys and Girls Club movement, and this was like 10, almost 15 years ago, there was a big need to address for summer learning loss.
Yes.
Is that still a big issue?
Yeah. So pre-COVID, we only offered one summer school. We now offer summer school at all of our schools, and really it is targeted for students who there already may be some academic gaps. And what we see is sometimes with students who are behind, the summer happens, and then they're even more behind
right.
their peers, that maybe they are in a household where they're reading, they're going to museums, parents are still or families are still working with them. And so really thinking about, you know, there's so many students that are living with grandparents, are fosters, are just in places where they're in need. And so that was a huge need for us. And the reality is we receive no funding for summer school outside of Title I. And so after right now we have some COVID funding. It's our last year. So next year we will probably have to pull back on our summer school offering some. But it is essential. It's also essential for our high school students. There's lots of high school students, I just heard you talking, mm-hmm. That in order to balance out their schedule so they can do the things they want to do, they want to take classes before their students that are behind. And so, you know, there's a great need for summer learning, whether it's informal or formal, that we see in our community. And, I think we see Havasu, there's been a lot of growth. Over 50% of the students in Lake Havasu Unified School District qualify for free and reduced lunch. So while we may not think that there's poverty in the community, there is poverty in our community. And we really need to ensure that every single student that we work with graduates. is able to make those decisions when they graduate, has the skills, and that takes really targeted work.
Now, wasn't there a time when free and reduced lunch was 100% of the student body?
There was a time.
What happened with that?
The federal government?
It just got cut.
The legislature.
Oh,
the
okay.
Congress cut it.
Yeah.
So, you know, for whatever reason, people think that that is a political issue, a controversial issue.
What, hunger? Okay.
Yeah.
That's
so,
one of my pronouns.
Yeah,
hungry.
And so, you know, the idea that, you know, the reality is students come to school hungry every day.
Right.
And so, actually when Kristen Sinema was out here, we talked about going back to feeding every student. And she was very honest with us. She said, it is not politically viable in Congress. That it has a big price tag and it's not viable.
So there that must be in both sides of the aisle.
But I don't think either side of the aisle is supporting it.
Oh, that's
and so, and I would say one, the left probably supports it more, but it is not necessarily every student. And so we just
sure.
need to be really, really careful that we target kids who need food and make sure that they're not hungry. And then we do have food programs, at our schools, that serve over the summer. And so, that is essential because there's some kids that outside of school lunch, that's their food.
That's it. Yeah. Unfortunately. All right. Let's take another break. You like Bare Naked Ladies
yeah,
too?
Nice.
Song. Yeah. And it reminds me of the movie American Pie.
Oh, I haven't thought about that movie in a very long
time. That's a
time.
Great movie. Love the first one. The rest were good, but the first one's the benchmark.
Stifler's mom.
Yeah, right. She's kind of a famous comedian.
She
now.
Is. She's lovely.
Yeah, yeah.
She was in Legally Blonde too.
Yes.
One of my favorite, probably Legally Blonde one.
Wow. I'm learning so much about my cousin.
I love Legally Blonde too.
Right.
How though becomes a law.
Jenny's cracking up over here. Back with more in a moment. You're listening to Speak Out. We've got Lake Havasu Unified School District. Director of Student Achievement, Jamie Festa Daigle. Jenny Sautner is here, Starline Elementary School Principal. And Marsha Becker, the CTE Coordinator. We're going to find out a whole lot more about CTE when we come back. Right? And it's not the football injury CTE.
No.
We're talking about career and technical education. Yeah, see, those acronyms can get you in trouble, right? Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. Back on Speak Out, the late, great Kurt Cobain. But what was really good that came out of that band, Jamie? The best thing that came out of that band was Dave Grohl.
He's lovely. And
he's
the king. He loves his mom so much.
Oh, I know, right?
His mom used to be a teacher, I think.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
He's a really, really, really interesting guy.
He's a lovely human.
Yes, he really is. Speak Out brought to you in part by Springberg Wealth Management, also by The Chair, Havasu-style dining and live entertainment in a flip-flop atmosphere. It's a fantastic view of London Bridge. Stroll on over to The Chair. Also, Mojave Community College by samsguns.com. Sun Power by Esme Electric. By Dorita's Place. Anybody here shop at Dorita's Place?
It's so good for the dogs.
Yeah?
Yes.
You love Dorita's Place?
Yes.
All right. It's usually the choice of 9 out of 10 Speak Out guests. I kind of poll them. Like, do you shop at Dorita's Place?
And I to buy the fancy dog food.
The fancy dog food.
Yeah, my dogs don't eat like.
Dorita says there's a new one that comes in from Italy. She says dogs are devouring it.
Oh.
I love that commercial. And then the self-service doggy washes, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Also, ZMI Mobility, like TMI, it's ZMI Mobility, off-road mobility scooters, ramps, lifts for pools and vehicles. Car access, swivel seats, and stair lifts. ZMI Mobility, 900 block of North Lake Havasu Avenue over by City Maytag. So there you go. That's a hard thing to find in this area is a good mobility store. So I've heard.
I'm thankful I don't need one yet.
Right, exactly. Nor does your husband, who's a huge CrossFit
champion.
Yeah,
and hopefully my daughter, who's a physical therapist, will just keep us mobile.
Are we entertaining Jenny over here or what?
I'm having a great time. I am.
All right. Well, you're a great audience, I'll tell you that. All right? So Jamie Festa-Daigle, Jenny Sautner, and Marcia Becker are here from the Lake Havasu Unified School District. And I wanted to talk about career and technical education. Speaking of which, Chief Pete's going to be on the show tomorrow with the new deputy chief. Okay. And we'll have them both on the show, and that's part of the CTE program.
Yeah, it is.
The fire department.
Yep, we have 15 different programs, and fire service was added a couple years ago. They are doing exceptionally well. They just got back from Phoenix the other day, I want to say Friday, and maybe I'll let him share the excitement of how many students earned their CPAT. It's a physical test and assessment that gives the students an industry certification.
I would say physical agility test is the PAT part, probably.
Right.
I love my acronyms. I usually nail
them,
too.
That's a good one.
That's pretty good.
All right. Thanks.
We have fire. We have automotive tech. We have cabinet making, early childhood education. We have ed professions for those wanting to go in and be a teacher, law and public safety. We pretty much have something for everybody. So, if students are interested in a particular profession, they can come in, try out a program, take a class or two, and then, hopefully test drive it out and see if it's something that they would like to continue with.
The kids now, are they leaning towards college? Or are they leaning towards CTE education? Is it a fine line? Do they know what they want to do when they get older?
I don't know that they necessarily know what they want to do, but they know what they are interested in now, or they find that passion by taking a career and technical education class. And really, the model of it is what makes it so successful, because it's not just the academic base. We have that piece. But it's also the hands-on learning. It is the community partnerships that we have with our stakeholders. It's their student organization, so they have to learn leadership. They have to learn how to public speak. And all of these things combined together really create that success for those CTE students. They see the why. They don't, they're not just sitting in math class learning a formula. Oh, this formula is going to apply to this part of putting this automotive piece back together, whatever it is.
They're called algebraic equations. How did I know that? Anyway.
So, yeah, they learn the relevance. And
right.
It just makes the learning, and they're growing in that occupation.
What about certifications? Can students get any certifications once they complete that CTE class?
That is a great question. So every single one of our 15 programs, if students complete the program, or even if they go into the second year, a lot of our programs will offer it in that second year, but they will all come out with an industry certification, whether that's the CPAT for, the fire service, our law and public safety. They have a crime scene certification that they earn. Our nursing services students are earning their CNA, Certified Nursing Assistant. They actually do that through MCC. We partner with them.
Nice.
There is a certification that's earned in each one, which makes them, employable before they even graduate high school, gives them a leg up. And we're noticing now a lot of our businesses, that's what they're looking for, those micro-credentials, those certifications. And then those businesses want to teach them their way or how to be successful in the program. But and not saying that they can't go on and get those two-year degrees or even four-year after they get started, but this really gets them going in the right direction.
Yeah, there's so much talent at Lake Havasu High School, too, at the student body. I mean, my own production assistant, right?
I recognize her right away.
Marissa.
Yes.
Right, exactly. Got her, and she's actually certified in Pro Tools.
Yeah.
I don't even use Pro Tools. I use like a 30-year-old audio editing program.
That is a state-of-the-art industry certification,
right.
So they're
right.
Coming out of high school with these, and she could go work, in a studio, wherever.
Jamie, how do programs like that stay sustainable? They cost money, obviously, to provide those types of programs so kids can get a leg up getting into the job market and that. But how does it remain sustainable?
So thankfully, voters here passed us being a part of WAVE years ago. And so we do have WAVE funds. Marsha also oversees some federal grants, the Perkins grant, that provides funding. We do have a strong community partnership. So we have a partnership with the fire service in town that we did with Chief Pete, where we're providing some funding for the instruction. We partner with the chamber to really do all of those internships. Mm-hmm. I just went to that event. There was 23 students.
Yeah, 22, I think.
Who had internships from everything from a physical therapist's office to radio stations to a tattoo shop, real estate. And so really there's layers, but the other reality is we fund it through what we spend in school. And so, you know, for years we've had an override, and it goes into paying teachers, creating programs. Marsha's able to then fund some of that equipment that is really expensive.
Sure.
To make sure that we have those state-of-the-art tools, an auto shop so students can leave with the correct certifications, you know, a construction trades program. So, you know, those things cost dollars, but that's why our community is great, is we have everyone from our mayor, a principal of our schools, community members galore, that they're LHHS grads. Steve, I mean, we're LHHS
people. Yeah, our station owner.
Yeah,
sure.
The station owner. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, our community is dependent that we're creating community members that are employable, are community-minded, civic-minded, have the skills and knowledge to do the things.
Yeah, you have Troy Sterling.
Troy, mm-hmm. Yes.
You have Sheriff Schuster.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Do you ever find that there are students that are in the program, they don't really quite know what they're doing there, and then all of a sudden you see the light bulb go off?
Oh, all the time. That's
really?
The best part of teaching,
being a part
of it, for sure. You know, they figure it out, and if they don't, maybe they choose another career pathway or they choose another CTE class. But there's most definitely those light bulb moments going on no matter what program that they are in, what classroom, what auto shop or lab environment that they're working in.
So I think about Jenny and I, when we did mm-hmm. student council, it was a marketing class, and my daughter and her best friend, Carly Arevalo, went to internationals
yes.
for marketing, and my child did not want to be in marketing, but Carly did, and so they presented a pitch. Carly now works for the racetrack in Las Vegas, but
oh.
really...
Nice
thinking,
job.
I mean, it is a skill set that they're taking into whatever field they're going into. And so there is a set of communication skills, leadership skills, working together skills that is just inherent in CTE that is transferable no matter what you
do. She works for Las Vegas Motor Speedway?
Yeah, she does.
LVMS is huge.
She does. She does all of their events.
You should see their grants program.
She's very fancy.
Right. They have grants for... Just about any organization would qualify for a grant from LVMS. What programs or offerings does Lake Havasu High School have right now in CTE? And what are you looking at in the future, do you think?
That's a good question. So we have 15 different, a wide variety of different programs, again, covering anything from sports medicine, the healthcare fields, to construction, to automotive, business. We have talked about bringing in some type of like a junior ROTC or military program. That would be great. We did a lot of looking into that, and there's a couple of things that are, you know, we would have to work out. Like, it's a partnership between the military, the Army, or whatever branch you would go with, and then the school districts. So.
Well, you do have a Marine Corps League detachment, but I would see where the difficulty would lie, though, because like in Vegas, you have Nellis Air Force Base, mm-hmm. so you have a lot of Air Force RS or junior ROTC programs. But here, you don't have that except for maybe the air base in Luke, right? Or you have the Marine Corps base in Yuma.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that would be tough. That would be a tough fit.
Yeah, well, a lot of our students do end up going into the military, and it's a great option. You know, my own daughter decided to do ROTC in college, and it paid for her college. And now she's doing her officer training. But, you know, our students just it would be nice to have that as an option so they could test it out in high school and then decide if that was what where they wanted to continue.
Right. I want to talk to all three ladies. We have about 5 minutes left. Now, I want to get your input on something. You know, Mojave County especially has had a reputation of being a non-college culture region. You know, we don't have a lot of people. We definitely don't have over 50% of the population that went to college or have any sort of post-high school education. Do you think that's changing, Jamie? And I'll ask you ladies the same question.
So I think as in ways when the community gets younger, I do think that there's post-high school, but I think it's really important to talk about it as post-high school. Mm-hmm. We aren't necessarily in need of four-year degrees. Yes, there is a segment of the population that absolutely we need teachers and doctors and lawyers and engineers that, yes.
I would agree with you there.
But we also have a
it's
segment.
It's not a critical need.
But we also have a segment of the population, nurses, real estate agents, entrepreneurs, that there's some education needed. So making sure that we have the right supports for the post-secondary opportunities that we need.
Do you think parents are more mindful of that now? It seems like anyone can get a high school diploma, right? It's almost the easiest thing I ever did in my whole life was get a high school diploma. And if you didn't get that or a GED, well, I don't really know what to say. So is it something that parents need to be mindful of as well as we change that culture, Jenny, or?
I think it's important for parents to help students think about what's next.
Right.
And what's the mindset that my students have. So we have a huge problem with absenteeism.
Yes.
That schools kind of seem like, as, oh, yeah, if you go, you go. If you learn today, you learn. But we're going out on this, whatever, vacation or, you know, and so having a mindset of doing work.
You mean that's coming from the home?
Yes.
That attitude? Really?
Yes. Chronic absenteeism is, I would say, an enormous challenge that schools are facing.
Here in Lake Havasu.
Yes, especially in elementary school. We have students who have missed upwards of 50 days of school. To be considered chronically truant is anything over 18.
And you have students that have missed 50?
Correct.
Whoa.
So at that point, what you're really looking at is similar to what Jamie was saying, which is it's a mindset or it's a kind of a value system of do we value what education is providing for my child.
Is there a particular population that's affecting?
Homeless
students, or
we see of an array, and I know because I make the phone calls individually to families,
yeah.
And so it's families that are the parents are both educated, and maybe they have multiple children in school, but they are choosing to remove their students for a vacation or a trip, and suddenly they're at 25 days or. It could be, if there are transportation issues, those are things that are solvable. So we have, I mean, an amazing network of community partners and resources.
Right.
So if that's really the reason why I reach out and call, why we send letters to families that are absent, is we're looking for a solution and how can we partner to fix this problem.
Well, not only that, the principal is your pal, right?
That's right. I am the principal.
Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah, that's the way.
Marcia, I'm going to ask you, is that culture changing? Is this becoming a more college-educated region now?
Well, so I'll say from the point of view of our MCC or concurrent applications that we receive, that's the ability of WAVE to pay for students to go to MCC to take a class there. Our applications are up quite significantly over the past 2 years. So I don't know if it is a cultural thing or if we're getting the word out a little bit better that you can start taking these classes and there's different ways for you to earn credits, you know, that it's up.
So I think it's phenomenal that a young adult can get out of high school, be a truck driver, be an AC or an HVAC tech, earn $70,000-$80,000 a year coming right out of high school.
Absolutely, and WAVE will pay for them to get those certifications and those classes.
Interesting.
Yes.
Anything we missed before I go to my last break and let you ladies go?
I was just also going to shout out our local ASU that we have here. I know we talked a lot about community college, but also even just They partner with us a lot in our gifted program, and they being able to have students see themselves as students and learners in college, I think when they're young, we're not trying to necessarily funnel them into a career or profession. What we're trying to build is that they see a next step for themselves, and that's what I think CTE does too.
All right, perfect. I couldn't let you get away, Jamie, without some Pearl Jam.
Oh, that's so nice.
Right?
Yeah.
Who doesn't love Eddie Vedder?
We all love Eddie Vedder.
All right. Thanks for being here, ladies.
Thank you so much.
Jamie Festadagle, Jenny Sautner, and Marsha Becker. Welcome back anytime.
Thank you.
Right, we'll see Mr. Becker next month.
Oh.
He's going to do his annual wrap up of the school year. Yeah. The very tall Scott Becker.
He is tall.
6'7". Seven.
How tall are you?
6 feet.
Shorty.
Back with more in a moment. I'll have a final shot on Speak Out. Stay with us. I saved the best for last. Hey, you still got time to chime in. Dennis or Dana at 9 a.m. still taking votes to see who you want to hear. The Dennis Prager Show or the Dana Show at 9 a.m. Let's see. What else do we got going on? Chief Pete Palafis and Deputy Chief Garrett Roberts will be on the program tomorrow. You can call in with your questions. I'll go slowly. 928-854-5687 928-854-KNTR. That's the call-in number for the show. On Friday, we'll have updates from Mojave Community College. They also call it the Bighorn Blast Podcast every month. And the Pace drawing, if you're buying tickets for that drawing for the Patriotic Americans for Constitutional Education, that drawing is Monday. We'll have it from 11 to 11:30 with Diane Klostermeyer, and then we'll have Dr. Chad Kingsley calling in from Kingman. It's the day before his last day. His last day is Tuesday the 30th. We're going to have him on the 29th. And then to close out the month, we'll have KRMC's Focus on Your Health host, T.G. Lafredo. All right, Hannity's up next, preceded by Fox News.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.